Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So I'm going to start with Acts 1:4, and I'm going to lay a little of a foundation, and then we're going to go a little bit forward. This is after Jesus is resurrected from the dead, and it says this is prior to his ascension to be with the Father. Being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. It's really a very much a key scripture. When Jesus, before he's ascended to be with the Father, he says, if you go and wait in Jerusalem, you're going to be baptized. You've heard this from me consistently, that you're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And that baptism in the Holy Spirit is a key to our Christian witness and the Christian power. The power that you have to be a Christian is not really possible without the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which Jesus promises to his people. The baptism in the Holy Spirit is something that many of us receive as an event in our life, and as we spend time, I have been 37 years since I originally was baptized in the Holy Spirit. As you spend time in your Christian walk, you can forget about the Holy Spirit. Maybe you pray in the Spirit, maybe you don't pray in the Spirit, but you forget about this promise of Jesus, he said, which was going to be very eventful, very significant, because when that happens, you'll receive power. And you've heard me share before, the word power in the Greek is dunamis, where we get the word dynamite from. So when he was talking about the power that we're supposed to receive, the literal transitional power of the Christian is the power of the Holy Spirit dwelling on the inside of us. The reason we study the word, the reason we fellowship, the reason we stay in the things of God really has to do with stirring up this power of the Holy Spirit. And with the power of the Holy Spirit comes the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and it comes also this inner sense of God's presence that gives us an ability to understand the things of God that we really can't understand outside the realm of the power of the Holy Spirit. The word baptism in the vernacular was not an ecclesiastical word. It wasn't a church word. Baptized wasn't a church word. It just means dunked in, immersed in the Holy Spirit. And then following, the disciples go to the upper room. They hear the sound of a rushing mighty wind. Tongues of fire come down and light upon each one of them. And they began to utter different languages as the Spirit gives them utterance. For some reason, they all pour out on the street. And I would, you know, one of the questions you ask is why, when they're speaking these strange languages, would they all pour out on the street? Well, one of the things the Holy Spirit does is motivates you. It motivates you to be God's witness. It motivates you to share what we have in God. And so those 120 disciples in the upper room, they were like chickens with their heads cut off, kind of, because they're hearing the sound of a rushing mighty wind, tongues of fire lighting upon each of them. They're babbling in other tongues as the Spirit gives them utterance, and they pour out on the street. And the people out on the street think they must be partying, and they're drunk, even though it's 9 o'clock in the morning. So Peter has to say, first of all, men and brethren, because it was the feast of Pentecost. Pentecost is 50. It's 50 days after Passover. Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. So there are people from all over the world there, the known world, Jewish people gathered together for the feast of Pentecost. So all of these people hear them speaking in their own languages. Now, they're just praying in tongues. They're speaking in tongues. The miracle that happens is that they hear them speaking in their own languages, people from all over the world. It's not one guy was speaking Swahili, and one guy was speaking Norwegian, and one guy was speaking Spanish, and one guy was speaking English. No, they're praying in tongues. They heard them speak in their own language, right? So it was like Crazyville. And Peter had to say, no, listen, folks, these people are not drunk like you think. They're acting like drunk. Why are they drunk? Because they're drunk in the Holy Ghost. They're filled with the Holy Spirit. They're laughing. They're happy. You know, Jesus is supposed to make you happy, right? Now, you get that Holy Ghost, he's got laughter inside of you. Sometimes you just laugh because you got a secret that people around you don't have. You've got the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Ghost. You're not a grouch. You're not the Grinch. Your heart just grew 3 sizes. And now you're glad. You're happy. And you live in this happy state. If you can believe it, you have the right to live in this joyful state. You will go through hard times, for sure. You're going to go through tragedy. You'll go through hurts and hardship. But we don't mourn as those who do not have hope. This Holy Spirit lives inside of us, and there's a buoyancy that comes with that. But you can forget that, and you can become the old grouch that you used to be. And the Holy Ghost aspect of your life is buried somewhere down deep. The Bible says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit live inside of you. Let the joy of the Lord become your strength. Make sense? So Peter says, now when they heard, the people on the street heard them, they were cut to the heart. Because Peter said, this is your fault, he said to them. This is your fault. You crucified the Lord of glory. That's what Peter said. It was a very nice, gentle little sermon. Very uplifting little sermon. You crucified the Lord of glory. They were cut to their heart. And they said, They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? You're right. We just crucified an innocent man. Then Peter said to them, repent. Let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Bam. So does that mean that the gift of the Holy Spirit ended when the apostles died? No. The problem is, you know, even in faith, we can get caught up in eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Knowledge overcomes faith. Faith is faith. Faith is the substance of the things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we get so tied up in knowledge, even in the things of God, that it overcomes faith. And our reception of the Holy Spirit is an issue of faith. Yes? Because usually you'll get the Holy Ghost before you get any knowledge. You might get enough knowledge to take a step, but once you take that step, that Holy Ghost is an issue of faith. Okay? The promises to you and to your children, to all who are far off. What? The same promise of receiving the Holy Spirit. You can get it. If you haven't gotten it yet, go for it. Seek for it. They had to wait in the upper room until the day of Pentecost had fully come. However long it takes, wait for it. Seek it. You will find the gift of the Holy Spirit. God does not withhold from anyone who comes and asks. Amen? Amen. Now, this is from 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. So, when we speak of the Holy Spirit, we're going to literally, the Holy Spirit and the anointing are synonymous. The receiving of the Holy Spirit and the anointing that we have from the Holy One, they're synonymous. They're the same, they're like the same thing. Anointing in this sense means anything smeared on. In the Old Testament, they would smear on ointment or they would smear on oil in the Old Testament. We have the Holy Spirit smeared on our inner man. That's what the anointing is. The anointing is when flesh and spirit connect, when they meet. God smears the Holy Spirit on your inner man, in your soul and in your spirit. So now you're connected with God himself, with the Holy One. The Bible says we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. That's through that smearing on of the Holy Ghost. It says, anointing, anything smeared on, an unguent, an ointment, usually prepared by the Hebrews from oil and aromatic herbs. Anointing was the inaugural ceremony of the priests. It speaks to us of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is aromatic in your inner man. There's a sweetness. There's an aroma. There's life. There's joy. It's a lovely thing, the Holy Spirit. In your inner man is a lovely thing. It's a healing balm. It's love. It's life. Yes? Okay, so the implication, the other part of this scripture, it says, you know all things. Hey, you know all things. You know all things. And you ought to be saying, no, I don't. Do not. I think there's a lot of things I don't know. What does it mean when the scripture says you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things? Because of this anointing, he's saying because of this anointing, the implication of knowing all things is the ability to recognize truth because of the anointing that abides within. This anointing, the impartation of the Holy Spirit, must be maintained and invested in, or else you become deceived. But to the degree that you invest yourself in building up this anointing, you know all things. Okay? Listen, seek the Lord in solitude. Do yourself a favor. Be deep. You know, be deep. Allow yourself to be deep a little bit. Pull some of the layers of the onion off and see who you are inside of all of that. Not just who you are pretending to be because the culture has made you out to be somebody, you know, put on your cool so you can be in culture and you can match culture okay. Peel the onion back and find out who you are. That's really important. Know the Word of God. Because when you know the Word of God, you know what God is likely to say about things. Fellowship. Why? Because I need you. I don't look like it. You don't look like it. We're all so very well put together. But you know what? You need me and I need you. But listen, when you have many people to help you when you need help, you're in a better place. You know, I mean, families are tiny these days. It kind of used to be better when families were big because there were more people to help you. And you could help them. Hey, we got a project at my house. Brothers would show up, you know, and uncles and friends, and people would work together, you know, and build a garage or fix the thing or put the roof on or do this or do that. It's what people do. You know all things. The word know there is Ido. Nick can correct me later. There are two main words, a number of words that the Greek use for the word know. This one is Ido. And it differs between the commonly used ginosko, or ginosko, I don't know what it is. It says that ginosko and Ido, the difference between them demands consideration. While ginosko frequently implies an active relationship between one who knows and the person or thing known, Ido expresses the fact that the object has simply come within the scope of the knower's perception. Thus, Matthew 7:22-23, it says, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew. That's the word ginosko. I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I never knew you suggests that I've never been in an approving connection with you. That's what that word means. I've known of you, but I've never been in an approving connection with you. Okay? Whereas Ido suggests that you stand in zero relationship to me. Matthew 25, the kingdom of heaven will be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now, 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. Now, remember, we're talking about the anointing. We're talking about oil. We're talking about smearing. It says, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out and meet him. Then all of the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, saying, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you, but rather go to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterwards, the other virgins came also, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. I've never had a connection with you. I don't know you at all. I've never had a connection with you. Isn't that interesting? He says, watch therefore, for you do not know the day or the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. That means that this oil, this Holy Spirit, this Holy Ghost, this anointing has to be invested in. You have to keep your lamp full because you don't know at what day the Lord is coming. And I'm talking about Jesus' return, but I'm also talking about opportunities that God will give you in your life that you will pass by and you will not even recognize if your lamp is empty. Are you with me? Invest in the Holy Ghost. It will pay the most. Now we're going back to 1 John in chapter 2. It says, therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. What could be better? I don't care if you're a gazillionaire. What could be better than an eternal life? That is the big payday. My brothers and sisters, that's the payday. Okay? Down here, we are going to have times of wonderful blessing, sometimes of hardship. all of it we'll get through in a positive sort of a mode, but it's in the sweet by and by that this stuff really will pay big. These things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you. These things I have written you concerning those who try to deceive you. What? That you don't have to abide in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to continue to abide. That's a deception. That's a very common deception. You don't have to be so, you don't have to so much with the Christian stuff, but right already. Right? I mean, that's what people do. You're supposed to be a Christian 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You don't come up for air. You don't go on vacation from Jesus. It says in verse 27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you do not need that anyone teach you. What does that mean? That you don't need a teacher? No. Actually, the Bible says God has given apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. So you do need teachers. It means that you should be able to recognize truth. That truth should jump out at you. You don't need anybody to teach you, because when truth is spoken, you recognize it as truth because of the anointing that abides within you. If you're contentious and you're always fighting against the word that's preached, if it's pure and if it's righteous, you've moved away. You're in deception. The word is the word. Main truth is the plain truth, and the plain truth is the main truth. Are you with me? So you don't need that anybody teach you. I can teach myself. I really don't need it. I really don't need what you have. I just me and God. Man, you are in deception. Right? Why? Because it's not just me and God. It's us and God. Right? Where two or more are gathered together, then he's right there in their midst. Is that right? The community is all important. He says, you don't need anybody to teach you, but the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. Your inner man connects with it. And is true and is not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. So we become righteousness practitioners. Don't let anybody tell you that practicing righteousness is not important for the child of God. That is self-evidently in error. Practicing righteousness comes with being righteous. Practicing unrighteousness comes with deception. You become a practitioner. John 14, most assuredly, Jesus speaking, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do will he do also, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to my Father. What? Greater works than Jesus? I want to do greater works than Jesus. I don't want to be greater than Jesus. But if he says somebody's supposed to do greater works than him, and he doesn't feel threatened that I'm going to take over his spot, right? That's what we would feel. Oh, you're going to take over my spot. You can preach better than me. You can play better than me. You can sing better than me. Jesus said, I want you to do greater works than me, because I'm going to my Father. I want you to do greater works than me. Your faith, the ability you have in your faith, is not only to do the works of Jesus, but to do greater works. Man, oh man, how can we mope when such opportunity is given to us and spoken to us through God the Son? He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. But you got to ask. Unrelenting. You know, unrelenting. No, do not ask me. Don't ask your mother or your father. Ask God. Give God an opportunity to show you he's God. Give him an opportunity to show that he's God. T.
Do you hear what I'm saying? Pray to him. Pray to him alone. Let him prove that he's God to you, so that Jesus can be glorified. And we will have 20/20 vision this year. I'm telling you, we start praying, we're going to have 20/20 vision. You're going to see signs and wonders and miracles like you've never seen before. Verse 15 of John 14, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth. So what is that schmear inside of you? Truth. Said that he's going to give us the Holy Spirit, the helper. If you love me, keep my commandments, I'll pray the Father, and he'll give you another helper. The Greek word we know is paraclete, and that's someone who comes alongside of you. The Holy Spirit is another personal entity who comes alongside of you. He has his own brain. It's not your brain. He has his own brain, and he speaks to you, and he counsels you. He's a paraclete. He's a helper. And that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you, Jesus said, by the paraclete, by the Holy Ghost. Jesus is within. Schmear, right? Is that a word? That's for bagels, right? Schmear for bagels? You have the living Holy Spirit of God inside of you. You are not just a human being. You are not just an evolved locust. You're a child of God. You've been made in the image of God. And now that you've been sealed with his Holy Spirit eternally, that you may walk in him and you may become a giant of a person in your day and in your generation, because you have this paraclete, this helper, Jesus Christ incarnate within you, helping you and guiding you and seeking you. And all you've got to do is want good. All you got to do is want good. If you really want good, if you're really evil, son of a gun inside, I can't help you, because you got to repent. You got to repent and you got to want good. You can't have, I want to be good for Jesus over here, but I'm going to keep my biases and my prejudices over here. Can't do it. Can't be done. They do not inhabit the same space. Jesus comes in, he pushes all of that stuff out. Yeah? Amen.
Hey there, this is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you today for listening to our podcast, On Fire Radio. We pray that this word has ministered to you today. And maybe today God has shown you your need for him in your life. John chapter 8, and in verses 31 and 32, Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus makes us free from our sin. If you need to make Jesus first in your life today and be set free, would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I'm a sinner. I repent for my sins today and ask that you would cleanse me with your blood. I place you first in my life and ask that you would give me the power of the Holy Spirit. I walk forward this day in a new relationship with you, God. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I want to encourage you to start reading your Bible. You can even download the YouVersion Bible app on your mobile device and start a plan for new believers. Start a prayer life as well and start carving out time in your day to spend time with God. And I want to personally invite you to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We have service every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at 629 Main Street in Margaretville, New York. Powerful worship, dynamic teaching, and an encouraging time of fellowship. On Fire Radio is a ministry of Catskill Mountain Christian Center and is brought to you free online and on the radio each week because of generous donations from listeners like you. You can partner with us in serving God's vision for this area by donating online at our website, www.cmcconline.org. From there, you can also connect with us on all our social media platforms, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Send us a message and let us know how this ministry is impacting your life. On behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart, this is Jake Johnson signing off. God bless, and we'll see you in church.